And welcome back. A potentially critical intersection looms between careers requiring skills in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM skills, and waning student interest in science disciplines. It's a supply and demand issue. Ultimately, there will be more jobs than qualified candidates to fill them unless we do something. Only 16% of high school seniors are proficient in STEM skills. President Obama is concerned, business and industry are concerned, educators are concerned, and so is the St. Louis Science Center. Its YES, or Youth Exploring Science program, is designed to stimulate interest in the STEM disciplines. With me to talk about YES are Kristen Greer, Chief Education and Programs Officer at the St. Louis Science Center. In just a moment or two, we'll be joined by Diamond Williams, an engineer with Eaton Aerospace in Cleveland and a graduate of the YES program. Kristen, thank you so much for being with us. Welcome to St. Louis, belatedly.
Oh, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
What is going on? Why this low interest? Why are we looked at by the rest of the world as being really deficient in the STEM skills?
Well, I think we have high expectations here in this country for how our students perform and the way that our people can understand as citizens science, technology, engineering, and math. What role does do those subjects play in our economy and innovation? And how can we excite more students, young people, to go and pursue these careers?
What's at stake, do you think, if we don't accomplish that?
Well, I think there are a lot of things at stake. The economic factors are obviously, significant. How do we remain competitive? How do we continue to innovate and solve human problems by using these STEM skills? But I think even more than that is the sense of wonder about the future, about nature and our planet, and how we can make a difference by using STEM skills and knowledge to be able to make an impact.
Do you think it's too strong a word to say that this is potentially a crisis for this country in as much as technology is taking us to places we can't even dream of just yet,
right?
And it doesn't look like we're going to have the people to meet the demands and even the jobs that will be created?
Well, that's true. I mean, certainly that there are many of the jobs that we're thinking about in the future that are STEM jobs or things that haven't even been visualized or envisioned as what those would be. So we have to prepare a little bit more generally, not for a specific job, but with skills that allow us to be ready to innovate. And that includes even merging some skills like design with STEM education and using design thinking, mm-hmm. along with the typical analytical skills that you might see in a STEM career.
How is the Science Center, through the YES program I mentioned, basically designed to try to accomplish what we're talking
about?
Sure.
Well, our mission is to ignite and sustain lifelong science and technology learning, and I think that ignite part is something that people expect of us. For us to find that spark, capitalize off of aha moments with science and technology, and also to teach them some of the skills, the process skills for engineering, along with math skills. And we want to do this with a lot of different audiences, especially as we talk about the lifelong aspect, but in particular with our teens. Our teens have a lot of choices, a lot more choices than they've ever had. But to try to get prepared for those opportunities, both career-wise and in other things that they'd like to do from an interest-driven standpoint, becomes complex for an educator because they are learning in out-of-school time as much as they're learning in school. So formal education, meeting informal education, we try to bridge that gap. We try to give them opportunities to explore, to ignite that passion, and more specifically, to have the skills, the process skills, and the work-related skills to be able to be successful in the workforce.
You come to us from Chicago. You've been
here
a relatively brief period of time, probably not enough time to get a real sense of community here, but
yes.
Were the same issues present in Chicago when you were there with regard to young people and the STEM
Yes, and we spent a lot of time in Chicago and other cities like San Francisco, New York, in Atlanta, many museums. And science centers are extremely dedicated with engaging teens. And this is sometimes a challenging thing to do because teens have so many varied interests. And we have to not only merge their interest in the STEM fields, but also try to bridge it with popular culture and their communities and the social groups of just being a teen. And that's tough competition, stiff competition. So being smart about going where teens are, connecting with organizations that, as we do in the YES program, Youth Exploring Science, we work with many different organizations of boys and girls. girls clubs, with churches, with government organizations that are working to try and engage teens, and they become our partners, and we use those students to feed those programs to feed the program.
How many young people have you touched through the YES program?
Over 1,000 people since the program started in 1998. And it's grown each year. And currently, annually, we have about 250 students enrolled in the program.
Well, that's encouraging. We're going to talk to one of them now and bring her into the conversation. And you be a part of our discussion
sure.
here too, please, Kristen. Diamond Williams is joining us, as I mentioned in the introduction. She is an engineer with Eaton Aerospace in Cleveland. Diamond, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
Well, how did you get derailed? I understand that you wanted to be a hairdresser. Now you're an engineer.
Yeah, I would say it's honestly because of my dad. A lady at his church was talking about the YES program. And at that time, again, I wanted to do cosmetology or something along those lines. And he knew that I liked chemistry and different things in high school. So when the lady told him about it, he said, "You're going to work for the Science Center." I was like, "Cool, I like the Science Center." And I didn't think that it would radically change my life to where I am right now.
Can you tell us about that moment when you decided, okay, I'm giving up the first idea and going this way?
Well, I went through a couple different processes. I went first the hairdresser route, and that kind of just didn't work out well for me. And then I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps. He works at the dialysis in St. Louis for Born Jewish, and I'm squeamish, so that obviously wouldn't have worked out. So when I started doing projects at the Science Center, and I had a supervisor, his name was Frank Mack, and he would tell me how great of a, I guess, builder or dissector of issues I am. And pretty much I asked him one day, I was like, "Hey, is it like a field where it's like engineering and like chemistry, like a chemistry engineer or something like that?" And he was like, "That field exists, and it's called chemical engineering. And you should look at it at RALA." And it just was down here from there. Like, I pursued going to RALA, graduated from there, and I'm here. So I honestly wouldn't have been where I am without the program.
How would you explain, in general, the lack of interest among young people, your peers, in these areas that we're talking about?
From being at so many different high schools, I think not having that exposure to engineering, like before the program, I had never heard of the word engineering, ever. I had never heard of it in a class, never met an engineer, or a minority engineer for that matter, just nothing. And I think, like, if more schools tackle and expose kids into engineering and the STEM field as a whole, I think that this interest wouldn't be there. And I think a lot of it is because the students that I've talked to, it's like, "Hey, the math part, I can't do that. Math sucks, it's hard, blah, blah, blah." And for me, I struggled with math, even as an engineer, but I worked my way up. I started at my college at, I think, college algebra, and took that all the way to differential equations. So it's doable. It's hard, but it's doable.
Well, yeah, I want to bring Christian back into the conversation. Stay with us, Diamond. Christian, I'm guessing this is a relatively standard story that we're hearing
it
here.
It is, yes. Yeah. Yes, and I think math is one of the challenging things, and we try to teach math and integrate it into our program at the St. Louis Science Center as a language. You know, my uncle was a mathematician, and one of the things I noticed is that when he looked at math written on the printed page, he would make these sounds like, "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah." He was reading it, and I said, "Is the math talking back to you, and how is that happening?" But he saw it as a language, and we don't teach it as a language. But it's a universal language of science, and it certainly is the way in which we express in quantitative terms a lot of the things we see in nature and in our world.
But as Diamond has indicated, she wasn't familiar with some of the common terms that, mm-hmm. that many people are.
Exposure is critical.
But they're not teaching these things in schools.
Well, I think it's hard because the way that people are learning is different, especially young people. And the formal school environment makes it challenging to be able to do that. And for all the formal school teachers that are out there in K-12 now, I'm sure you know what the challenge is to try to engage these students in this way. But formal teachers are being very creative, and they are working collaboratively with informal educators to come up with ways to engage. And those might be using games as an approach to teach certain scientific principles. Project-based learning is another approach. And then interest-driven approaches with makerspaces in which they're allowing kids to just build and create and jump into the subjects before they start teaching a lot of the content to give it some content and some perspective. And then those that are a little bit more adventurous are taking elements from pop culture and teen culture and blending it together. And that's where social media comes in. You know, is there a way that we can communicate some of these scientific principles in the same language using the same tools that teens use? Are we comfortable with that? Are we willing to take those risks to try it? Those teachers that are both informal and formal are making a huge difference. And we try to do that at the Science Center.
Diamond and then Chris Jen. Diamond, do you see a certain sense of irony in that young people today are so dependent and so immersed in the new technology, and yet they're reluctant to become involved in the things
right.
that make that happen?
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, as it was stated earlier, I think just having that traditional style of learning and teaching, that kind of creates that gap. I think that if teachers and school districts were more adventurous and more engaging, I think that would spark that idea and get more enthusiasm towards STEM.
You know, I think you were really fortunate in that your father was kind of leaning in the direction of the sciences. You had a mentor in school, and then you became involved with the YES program. I think if any one of those steps were not present, or if any two of them were not present, perhaps, you'd be in a salon someplace right now.
If that, who knows where I would be.
It's really fortunate to have those people that guide you.
Yeah.
The mentoring is a very important part of our program. We have our educators are very experienced with science and have undergraduate or master's degrees. Some have doctorates actually in a scientific discipline. One of the first programs we did was in collaboration with Washington University, a Brain Bee on neuroscience. And that's one of our critical components, is to talk about neuroscience and how the brain works. And it just so happens that teens tend to be extremely interested in that, mm-hmm. how we make decisions, how we think about our world and our brain, and to try to get them to be a little bit more metacognitive in their approaches to understanding the world around them and things that are of interest to them.
Diamond, are you really happy with what you're doing now? Do you really think you've found that niche?
Absolutely. I would definitely say that working for Eden has been a blessing, even though I've only been here right under a month. But just the opportunities that's here and the team of people that I'm working with, like, I am just overjoyed with everything.
Well, that is so good to hear. Christian, let me ask you to be specific as to when a young person comes into the
sure.
YES program, how is it structured?
Well, we have a structure that's very open and I think very accommodating to their interests and the way they want to work. But we also have ground rules about what is expected of the program. And part of that is we want to try our very best to create opportunities for the teens to learn how to work in different systems. When we think about the concept of success, there are lots of ways of defining that. But I think one of the most important things for us to communicate is for that success, for them to be able to have success in different environments. What they do on the schoolyard, what they do online in terms of their digital identity, what they do in school and class, in the workplace, on an internship, they will encounter lots of different systems, and we try to teach them about our system and getting them more comfortable with adapting and being able to work in these various areas.
With this in a classroom setting or individual?
In a classroom setting, we do individual programs as they break off into their components of interest on scientific disciplines that line up with the STEM subject areas. But we have an orientation that is more youth development oriented, about communication, about leadership and collaborating. And those are important things that they'll find on the job as needs from employers.
We have a caller here who wants to know a little bit more about YES. Let's bring Mike from Rock Hill into the conversation. Mike, go ahead with your question.
Hi. I was just wondering, does a high school student need to have shown some ability in math and science to get qualified for the program? And how many students do you take a year and one of the applications do?
That's a good question, Mike. Thank you for your call. We have about 50 students that come in each year into our freshman class, and they come to us from partner organizations, as I mentioned earlier, churches, other after-school programs, and out-of-school time activities like the Boys and Girls Clubs. There is not a specific grade point average or aptitude that you need to have to be in the program. And I think that's part of our philosophy as a science center, to be able to take you kind of where you are and give you opportunities. I will say that the average GPA of the students that are in our program is a 3.1 on a 4.0 scale. And then we also have a way of doing a pre-assessment of where their aptitude is, and then we use that to customize the programs. In terms of applications and participation, you can check on our website, slsc.org, which will give you some information about the YES program and how to learn about the partner organizations that serve as feeders for our program.
And we'll have the link to that your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Excellent.
So that folks can approach it that way. Diamond, if you had an opportunity to talk to a class, a YES class or a YES group, what would you tell them as they're beginning their adventure?
Oh, wow. I actually did that before I moved here. And I talked to the incoming class for 2015. And what I would say is that the YES program will change you. It will radically alter your ways of thinking and approaching life issues. I would say that it's challenging. I think that a lot of the times we are displayed the low-hanging fruit in society and a lot of the times in classrooms. But the YES program will force you to, you know, reach to the top, to not go with everything that's tangible, that's accessible, to challenge yourself, to go harder, to be involved, to be a catalyst of change for your community and your family. The YES program will inspire you. Like, I kind of just went overboard with engineering afterwards. After I entered the program, anything involved with engineering, I joined because I wanted to learn more about it. You'll find yourself Google searching random things at random times at night because you want to know, you want to learn. It will capture you. And I think that that's what this generation and generations to come need. So I would say the YES program is what we need. That's... It's not a program that people want. We need it.
That's pretty good speech, Diamond. Very, very, very good. And Christian likes it, too. He's smiling.
I'm smiling over here. And I think Diamond's, just to break in and make this one comment, you know, I think Diamond's experience is typical of the students in the YES program, and it really has to do with an interest-driven learning approach. If people are interested in things, they have like a momentum towards something, but they run into barriers. And if there's not access to resources or people that have that shared interest, it's very hard to maintain that. So I think we try to create a world and environment where they continually, the teens are inspired to be able to pursue those interests in those fields and learn about new skills and how they relate to STEM.
We only have about a minute left, but two things caught my eye as I was reading about the program. Number one, that you have a particular emphasis, I believe, in the minority community.
That's
that
correct.
Is trying to bring young people from that community.
That's right.
And also that the interest in these disciplines that we we've been talking about is very high among Asians. What sets them apart in that regard?
Well, I don't know that I can speak to the interest versus ethnicity, you know, along the lines of ethnicity, and because we can talk about Asians in the United States and their interest in STEM or in other countries that are not in the United States, or for any other group for that matter. I kind of think about it as an informal museum educator would, that you know, people walking in are human beings and they have a variety of different interests. But there are also barriers depending on where you live, where you come from, your economic level, your orientation to STEM and science that make a difference. But community is a critical component. And I think if we can build the right community for to give opportunities specifically for the students that we serve, they'll be a success.
Great. That's a great way to end it. I want to thank you, Christian and Greer, for being with us. And Diamond Williams, thank you so much. Good luck to you in your career as an engineer.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
Well,
we
appreciate your spending some time with us. That's Diamond Williams. She is in Ohio, and Christian Greer here with me in studio from the Science Center. Thank you again, sir.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at the issue of white privilege and the importance of understanding race. Then we'll talk to Ed Martin as he leaves his post as chairman of the Missouri Republican Party to head Eagle Forum. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.